am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to a soaring cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and our sufferers' tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all his holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without alloy, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, in a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. I am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again.
Almost time to go on air.
Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that we're sitting on the verge of the most triumphant hour in human history, when the bride of Jesus Christ, caught up from the earth, out of the graves, multiplied millions on the way to glory to be with the Lord forever. What a day that's going to be. Now, we got a great broadcast today. We're going to talk about a great awakening. And we're going to talk about Duncan Campbell just a moment. And then biblically, what is a great awakening? Can America have another great awakening? And that's a tremendous question for me to ask. But it's very, very important. Can America have another great awakening? What do you think? Do you think America can have another great awakening? Would you like for America to have another great awakening? Would it move your heart? Would you be stirred? How about this? Would you like to be an intercessor for God to give us another great awakening? An intercessor? The Bible calls for intercessors. When God is going to do something, he reaches for men and women who will be his partners. And a man or woman who is an intercessor is actually a partner to God to keep the promise of the Bible. Remember Daniel? was a partner with God to keep the promise that God would take Israel back to the promised land after 70 years. And Daniel became an intercessor with God, for God, to bring to pass the promise that God had made. Every promise God has made has to be brought to pass with intercessors. Every promise that God's made to you has to be brought to you by your praying and by your believing and by your trust in God. God does nothing just because he knows he wants to do it and is right to do it. He's got to have you involved with him. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is about God's people involved with him in the business of his kingdom. I want to be a prayer partner. I want to be an intercessor. I am being an intercessor to the best of my ability. I'm not sure I'm all yet I want to be, but I certainly am on my way. I'm trying. I'm striving hard. Now, Duncan Campbell, or let's come up with the ideal word, just simply intercessors. Intercessors for an awakening. I ought to call that the title today. Intercessors for an awakening, a spiritual awakening. I want to tell you something. America is either going to have an awakening or a judgment. God can't put up with a mess in America much longer. It is now filled the cup of wrath with all the junk that our nation has been involved in, the killing of unborn. And you can name it. You know the things that they're doing. I hope you can name it. And I hope you are weeping and sobbing before God for all this darkness that is taking place in our nation and in our world. Well, I come to you as your friend and a shepherd to bring you truth and to help you dig in to the great things that God has promised us. Now, I want to go to the Bible. First, let me tell you something. He who is on fire for God is too hot for the devil to handle. That's an old saying that I used many years, and somehow it kind of slipped off my page. And this week it dawned on me. I was talking to a young man who's in college and talking about his commitment to God. And that thought came rushing at me. He who is on fire for God is too hot for the devil to handle. Have you ever been that on fire that everything God tried against you, it would fail? Because you were full of God's fire and full of God's anointing. That's my burden. That's my daily commitment, is to stay so close to God and so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of the anointing of God, that I'm on fire for God. And then when I'm on fire for God, I'm actually too hot for the devil to handle. I mean, that's just a reality. That is a truth that you can depend upon. My prayer this morning, Lord, I want to be full of that river of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been talking about that. Excuse me. That river of the Holy Spirit. I want to be full of that river. I want that river flowing through me like a mighty bombardment of God's grace and holiness. And I want to get you dedicated to that river so that God can have you and use you and bless you and show you his favor and his loving kindness. Oh, my friend, God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Do I have anybody out there that wants to be an intercessor? Hey, now, let me take a moment. Our radio family, we have a large radio family, WSTS down the eastern part of North Carolina, 100,000 FM watts, reaches into South Carolina. I don't know how far it reaches, but I have a great audience, and I want to welcome all of you WSTS people, will you? I want to welcome you. I want to thank God for you and the faithfulness. I'm looking to plan something special down there this spring. I want to do a prophecy conference in one of the locations, a church, a college, whatever, a place that we might acquire. If you are down there and you have a place, or you a pastor, and you have a sanctuary you would like to have a prophecy conference in, please call me after the broadcast. My cell number is easy, 704-578-5788. I wish it was up, but it's not. 704-578-5788. Okay? You got that? 704-578-5788. Now, call me after the broadcast if you have a location, a prophecy conference. I want to get back to doing some of those around in our audience and among our radio friends. And I'd like to start with one in eastern North Carolina, somewhere not too far from Lumberton or not too far from the station, wherever WSTS reaches, even all the way to Myrtle Beach. But you help me decide, and I'm praying for God to direct it and be in charge here in Charlotte and all around. Man, what a big audience. So many wonderful friends. I have people just coming regular to say, I'm so grateful you're still on the air. I went to a home some time ago and the dear black brother, a minister, come out and met, never had met before. And he said, Brother Chambers, please don't ever quit standing like you stand for the old-fashioned things. He said, you don't know how much the black communities of Charlotte depend on you and your stand for the Bible and for prophecy and for truth and for morality and for right things. And it just made my day, that dear brother. I wish I'd got his name. I guess I did, but I don't have it on my page right now. But God bless him. God bless him. That's all I can say. If he's listening, God bless you, brother. And God bless all of you all over my audience. God bless every one of you. Let's make this partnership month, will you? Help me make this partnership month. And everybody that enjoys this on internet or Facebook or the radio stations, why don't you be my partner? That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. We send out a partnership letter every month. Well, we miss a month sometimes now. We don't have quite as many people laboring here in the office, and so we're hiring it done. But we'll be sending out one in a day or two, and we'd like to send it to you. So all you got to do is call, give us your phone, your address, and we'll send it to you, and you can be a partner. Would you like to be part of a ministry like this, old-fashioned, Bible-believing, committed to every truth of the Scripture? I don't vary. I don't move around and get all compromising. No siree. I just stand on the truth. I just believe the Bible. I have no right to teach what's not in the Bible, but I have every right to teach everything that's in the Bible. And I will do it until it's over. I will do it until it's over. God bless you. Now, let's look at some things today. We're talking about an awakening. A spiritual awakening. The desperate need in America for a spiritual awakening. Let me read you first the words of Isaiah. Listen to this. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. That thou wouldest come down. That the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Listen to that. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. That thou wouldest come down. That the mountains might flow down at thy presence. This was Isaiah. He was being an intercessor. That's exactly what you've got in front of you, is an example of an intercessor who is crying out to the great God Jehovah, oh, that thou wouldest come down. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Let me read on, because there's four great verses here. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil. Oh, that's spiritual, brother. He's using that as spiritual language. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil. To make thy name known to thine adversaries. Notice that. Why does he come down? Why does he make his name known? He makes it known to his adversaries. If you're an adversary to God, friend, you're in trouble. You may not know it yet, but you will eventually know it if you don't change your friendships. I'm telling you, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble. That the nations, I love this. I'm talking about an awakening now. And this is what Isaiah's praying for, an awakening. He said that the nations may tremble at thy presence. I want to see the nations tremble at the presence of God Almighty. Iran, Iraq, all the nations of the earth trembling at the presence of God Almighty coming down among his people. When thou doest terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Wow. Oh, that God may do that again. He's done it many times. You know that, don't you? What we're talking about today in Duncan Campbell is the revival on the hybrid islands. That Duncan Campbell was called of God to go to, had to get on a boat and go across, didn't know a soul over there, but God had told him to go, and he got on the boat to go, and they were looking for him. And there was a postman over there who was trying to keep the church open. Not much church. Everybody had forsaken the house of God, and he was trying to keep it open and praying for a revival, praying for a sovereign move. And God sent Duncan Campbell over there to do that sovereign move. It's one of the record times of God's visitation. It really is. Many were saved. I mean, it was a great move from God. And I've got a wonderful article that I'm sending anybody that wants it about this. It'll also be on the internet. Okay? You need this article. Duncan Campbell, a servant of an awakening. A servant of an awakening. You need it. You really do. So make sure you order it. Can't order it now. I don't use secretaries anymore since Mama passed. I just do it myself right here on the phone, and I can handle it. Love it. In fact, I love it. I like doing it. I did it to start with 48 years ago. And I still like it. I really do. Long time, isn't it? I'd been saved 20 years. I got saved in 52. I started this broadcast in 72. I've been on ever since. And it's been such a joy. I don't ever want to quit. I really don't. People think I'm too old. Well, I don't think I'm too old. And God don't think I'm too old. So why should I quit? You know, that's a good question. Let's read another verse. Since the beginning of the world, man has not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Now you got to hear this. God says, eyes have not seen and the ears have not heard the things which God hath prepared for him, for them that waiteth for him. That waiteth. Now he's talking about intercession. He's talking about people who get on their face and say, now God, this nation of mine is in a rotten condition. It's about to go to hell. The political situation is absolutely horrible, horrendous. I don't know the right words to say. But this person gets on their knees and said, oh God, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And God answers and said, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, what God will do for him that waiteth for him, for him that intercedes for him, for him that gets on his knees and stay there. We have got on our knees almost 2 years now, every morning at 6 o'clock in adverse, sometime the time. There's occasion, only one, a few times that nobody's been here. But just here praying, interceding, crying out to God. I didn't miss a day all Christmas, 6 o'clock or earlier. Sometime, I think one day or a few minutes later, and just waiting on God, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Waiting on God, waiting. We're waiting on God. This church is waiting on God. For him to reveal himself and to show us something our eyes have never seen and our ears have never heard, and he promised it. See, when God makes a covenant with us, all we got to do is keep our end of that covenant, and God will never break his covenant. The only covenant God can't keep is a covenant that people don't obey to let him keep. God's desire is to keep his covenant, to do everything that his book says he's going to do. And I believe him. And I got to read this verse again, because this is really what I'm talking about today, is intercessors who will wait on God until God comes down. Intercessors who will seek God until there's a visitation. Intercessors that are so hungry for God to revive their country, their people, their church, their nation, that they will get on their knees and stay there. Eyes have never seen it yet. Ears have never. I've never seen an awakening. I've never been in the midst of an awakening, but I'm going to be in one. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm asking God, take me home when you get ready, but please let me see an awakening before you take me home. Please let me see a sovereign move, a sovereign move. I'm going to be an intercessor. I'm committed. I'm committed. I need you. I need ladies and gentlemen all over my audience. It don't matter what country you in, all the way to Australia, all the way up to Ukraine, all the way down to South Africa, all over South America, Canada. It don't matter what country you in. You're hearing me. Multitudes of you are hearing me. I hear from people all over this globe. Are you willing to become an intercessor to pray for your country and your church, your community, your city, your community, whatever it is? Maybe a small community, maybe a big city. It don't matter with God. If he can have an intercessor, he'll come down. If he can have an intercessor that will not give up, I promise you, if God gets an intercessor anywhere on this globe that will not give up, God's going to visit that place. We know it's going to happen right here. We know those who are praying with me, and there's really several of us, two that are here every morning, but several that are praying, and we are not going to give up until God gives us a visitation. We want you to be affected. We want you to be affected, and we want nobody to get the credit for it. We want God alone to get the credit. Oh, I like that. Now I got to finish this. Isaiah said this, Isaiah 64. Go get your Bible and read it. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor seen, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eyes seen, O God, the things which thou hast prepared for them that waiteth for him. So, I'm talking about an intercessor. Someone on their face, on their knees, hours, not minutes, not just, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, but hours, day after day, on their face, in the night. What do you do when you wake up in the night? You lay there and count sheep, or do you pray? Do you go to talking to God? Father, I'm here to talk about sovereign revival. All night last night, I don't know how many times I woke up. Several. I'm an older man. I need to go to the restroom more often than used to. You understand that if you're of age. I'll be 84 next, not this Sunday, tomorrow, but the next Sunday. I'll be 84. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. When I wake up at night, I pray. I do my best. Sometimes I'm worried about something and I have to fight it off and say, God, I give that up. Please let me just pray. And oh, I'll pray and seek his face. And I'm waiting. I'm interceding. Are you interceding? Will you become an intercessor with me? Will you become an intercessor with me? Now, that's powerful material. You know that. Would you read it? Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. And the last verse, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. Waiteth for God. That's what an intercessor is. He's a man or woman who gets on their knees and they don't count time. They count heartfelt emotion. They count heartfelt desire. They love the Lord and they worship him. Did you know the Bible says that God will give a man that delights in him the desires of his heart? If I continue to delight in God like I'm doing and striving to do more and more, if I will continue to wait on him, will he give me the desires of my heart? He said he would. Do you think he can lie? No, covenants with God are absolute. Every covenant that God makes is as sure as that sun is up there right now. Every covenant. He just got to have a covenant-keeping people. That's all he's got to have, a covenant-keeping people, because he's a covenant-keeping God. Are you hearing me? Now, I want to take you to a scripture that I had never remember reading. I'm sure I had, but I don't remember it. It's in Isaiah 58, and this one really got a hold of me. Brother Derek, one of our dear men, preached last Sunday night, and he preached a wonderful message. He really was anointed. Really was anointed. And he read this verse and he said that there was no man. He said that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. And wondered. He said there was no man. And then wondered that there was no intercessor. Could I tell you right out of my heart that the Holy Ghost has shown me that God is crying out for intercessors? Are you hearing me? God is reaching right now. God is talking to you right now. I'm his servant doing it for him. I'm nothing. I am so nothing that I tell people I'm so common, I'm uncommon. And that is the absolute truth. I am nothing but a servant of God. And I love him with all of my heart. And God says, and I want you to hear it. And he said, and he saw that there was no man. This is God. Saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Are you hearing me? God was wondering that there was no intercessor. Maybe you be getting a call, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to take calls right now, but I will in a little bit. So just hang up and call back. But God was wondering that there was no intercessor. God was wondering that there was no intercessor. And I'm telling you, God is looking for intercessors, and he wants you. He wants you to be one of his intercessors. Are you hearing me? He wants you to be one of his intercessors. And he will move you. He will affect your life. I'm telling you, you can depend on God. He's as faithful as the clock ticks. Are you hearing me? He's as faithful as the clock ticks. And he'll love you. And he'll pour his grace upon you. And he'll bless you with his tender mercy and his wonderful kind. Would you be an intercessor? Can I ask you for God to become an intercessor? Can I ask you for God to become an intercessor? I'm trying to get this phone to quit ringing. Let's hang it up now. I got to get it down. I got to get it out of here. Well, I get amazed when you get one of these calls and I don't know how to handle it. But I will get rid of it. I promise you that. I promise you that I hit the right button then, didn't I? Well, that's how God is. He's good to us. And he knows how to hit the right button if we'll let him. He knows how to hit the right button if we'll let him. He's a God of grace and mercy and beauty and power. And he loves you. And he loves his people. And he loves his kingdom. And he wants you. He really wants you doing his business. He really does. He wants you doing his business. He wants you being his intercessor. Now, I got so much today that I want to take you to, and I want us to look at. You understand when I say God needs intercessors. They are men and women that wait on him. They get on their face with God, and they get in his communion. A preacher said some time ago, God doesn't, that people cannot pray through, that there's no such thing as people praying through. That's the biggest false prophecy or false word I ever heard about the God of this Bible. He loves it when you get on your knees and you pray until you pray through. What do you mean pray through? I mean when the Holy Spirit moves into your prayer realm. When you begin to pray in the Spirit, whether by your tongue or by the Holy Ghost tongue, whichever way the anointing of God comes, and you begin to pray with power and with anointing. Praying in the Spirit is wonderful. If you don't believe it, read Romans chapter 8. Wonderful verse. I know not how I should pray as I ought, but the Spirit himself helpeth me, and he maketh intercession for me with groanings which cannot be uttered. If that's not praying through, brother, you don't know what the Bible is. Then I believe we do know what that Bible is. So God is looking for someone who will pray through. Now, I do want to take you to another Isaiah prophecy that is so powerful. And this one talks about the people whom God can use. Have you ever tried to think, how can God use me? What must I do? What kind of change have I got to make if God's going to really take me and make an intercessor out of me? What have I got to do? Well, let me give it to you. Isaiah 57. I love this verse. Verse 15. For thus saith. Now listen to this. For thus saith the high and lofty one. This is God talking. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. He inhabits eternity. Whose name is holy. Now you got to hear this. For thus saith the high and lofty one, who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Get your Bible. Open it up to Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Now God speaks once the introduction is given. See, the writer gives the introduction. For thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Now God speaks. I dwell in the high and holy place. Woo. When I think about where God dwells, I can't wait to go there. When I think about where God dwells, I can't wait to go there. I don't know whether you're excited about going to heaven or not, but I sure am. Paul said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm one of those sitting here, to live is Christ to me, but to die is going to be gain to me. I can hardly wait, and yet I've got so much I want to do. I want to see a mighty awakening. I can't stand the thoughts of dying before there's an awakening. I want to be in the middle of it. I want God to use me in any little way He might choose to use me. But now God talks. Once Isaiah has given us this person, this God. I'm going to read that again. For thus saith the high and lofty one. I like that word lofty. Who inhabiteth eternity. Did you know God doesn't dwell in eternity? He inhabits eternity. Eternity is in Him. He is the source of eternity. Not one who lives within eternity, but the one who produces eternity. He is the master of eternity. That's what he's saying. That's what Isaiah is saying. The one that inhabiteth eternity. And I like this, whose name is holy. Whose name is what? Holy. Now, let's hear him speak. I dwell in the high and holy place. God is talking. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also. With him. Her also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To I dwell in a high and holy place, and with him, her, that is of a contrite and humble spirit. How contrite are you? How humble are you? Can you be told anything without bucking? Can you be taught anything? Do you have a teachable spirit? Do you have a humble attitude? Are you contrite before God? What is contrite? I am nothing and He is everything. Let me decrease and let Him increase, was the prayer of a great servant of God. Let me decrease and let Him increase. Say that with me. Let God increase and let me decrease. That's within my life. That's within my mind, in my conscience, in my conduct. Let me decrease and let Him increase. God says, I dwell in a high and holy place, and with him, her, that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Humility is the most wonderful thing that can ever happen in your life. And humility is so fragile. If you ever think you've got it, you just lost it. Because a humble man never, 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 never talks of himself as being humble. Never thinks of himself as being humble. He's always striving to be more broken and more contrite before God. Always striving to listen and hear God's voice and be usable to God. Now, I'm talking about an awakening. I'm going to talk about politics in a minute. So don't you go nowhere. Stay close to me. Call a friend. Tell them to be listening. Share it on your Facebook if you're looking by Facebook. Because I'm going to talk about politics in a minute. I'm going to talk about the desperate need in America for an awakening. Donald Trump is not the source of an awakening. He wasn't sent here to be the power of an awakening. Although he is, he has awakened some very, very dark, mean people. But that's not his task. His task, he's a good president. The best in my lifetime, along with Ronald Reagan. The very best in my lifetime. Wonderful things he's done. He's not perfect. He's like one of the old pagan rulers of ancient Israel. Now, I don't mean to call him pagan. Now, I'm not meaning that at all. I'm just saying those leaders were not great godly men, but they were men who loved the right things and did the right things. And they were great for Israel. And so has President Trump been great for Israel. What he did this week was breathtaking. I'm telling you, you can take it or like it. Leave it. It was breathtaking. That man was a prince of Persia. That's the same as the Bible talks about the prince of Persia. Evil, dark, wicked. And he took him out. You know, there's some more prince of Persias and prince of other countries that need to be taken out. We're in a war in this world. I'm in a terrible war. And you can no more treat it idly and dumbly. It's just ridiculous. But I want to get back to this because I'm wanting to awake in you a contrite, a contrite and humble spirit so that God can dwell with you. Now go back to what he said. I dwell in a high and holy place and with him who is of a contrite and humble spirit. Just as much as God dwells in the heavens, he dwells in Joseph Chambers. And whoever there is of you out there who has allowed yourself to become humbled and broken and contrite before God. I mean, it's something you've got to maintain every day. There's never a place that you take it for granted. You are dependent on his grace. I'm preaching in the morning on the grace of God. The grace of God. I've got so thrilled this week studying and thinking about the grace of God. It has thrilled my heart. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to preach on that in the morning. The grace of God. You need to be here. You really do. God has anointed me lately with such sweet anointing. Our church has been through a warfare for nearly 2 years, and we're coming out of it now. And God is beginning to move in a special way, and we are looking for a harvest of souls. That's my burden. A harvest of souls. A harvest. Men coming to God. Women coming to God. Young people coming to God. Children coming to God. It's the hour's late. So God dwells in a high and holy place, a high and lofty place, the scriptures say, and with him or her who is of a contrite and humble spirit. Are you contrite and humble? Are you broken? Can you weep easily? How long since you prayed for people unsaved and squall like a baby? Remember Jeremiah, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. A humble man, a woman, will have no trouble weeping for the lost. A broken and humble man, a woman, will have no trouble praying for their pastor and their shepherd, will have no trouble praying for unsaved children. A humble and broken heart will be praying for neighbors and praying for people all around them. Your boss men, people that have made you mad and hurt you so bad, pray for them. Don't be angry with them. Give up your anger. Give up your feelings of resentment. Get rid of that kind of stuff. You say, I don't know how. Well, go to God. He knows how. The whole answer is always God. The whole answer is always God. Now, I'm talking to you about intercessors. I'm talking about the absolute imperative for intercessors. It's amazing today that I'm so much into Isaiah, but Isaiah is one of those great books that you need to be into. It is one great book, and I got to read these verses. Well, I thought I was going the right way, but I wasn't. Hallelujah. These old eyes play wonderful games on me, but I keep on trying. Do you hear me? I keep on trying. I'm not like some people sitting down doing nothing. I'm not heading for a rocking chair. I'm heading for a trip to the sky. Did you hear me? I'm not headed for a rocking chair. I'm headed for a trip to the sky. That's what my eyes and heart is set on. Amen. What a day is going to be. Listen, what sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my iniquities is passed over from the Lord. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. That's the everlasting God. Fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. If I say something here hypocritical, I'm here to tell you God knows it, and he's going to put his finger on my nose, and he's going to bring me from that hypocrisy. I don't want no hypocrisy. I don't have it. Neither do I want it. And God's watching over me, and he don't let me get by with nothing. Do you know, if you really walk close to God, he'll convict you in a moment if you get careless. He'll convict you. He'll make you so miserable in the middle of the night that you get up and fall on your knees and repent. And that's what we need. He giveth power to the faint. Notice this now as they're talking by the Holy Ghost. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He giveth power to the faint. You say, I'm faint. Well, he gives power to you if you'll cry out to him. He can't do it if you don't ask him. He don't do it if you don't wait for him. He can't do it if you don't get on your knees and let him have you. You got to make yourself available to him. God is waiting for you to make yourself available to him. Notice again, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man or the young men shall utterly fail. But listen, are you listening? I'm waiting for your attention. I want to make sure you're hearing this. Stop what you're doing. Please, please, lay down that dish rag. Stop your car if you have to. Stop whatever you're doing and listen to this. Listen, but they that wait upon the Lord, but they that intercede and wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew their strength. You know what I mean by renewing your strength? Pumping your muscles. He'll pump your muscles. I'm talking about spiritual muscles. He'll pump your muscles. Are you listening to Brother Chambers? He'll pump your muscles. He'll increase your strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Now, I could spend a while there. The man who waits on God shall mount up like wings of an eagle. Do you understand the mighty strength of an eagle? I'm so glad America chose the eagle as our national bird. That bird is a bird, I want you to know. That mighty eagle is something else, and you study them a little bit, and you can be like them spiritually. You can be like an eagle spiritually. You can be something beside this old dry hide that you are, this pew warmer that you are, this preacher that can't get anointed when you preach. This preacher that's searching and you're so discouraged and you're about ready to give up. Do you know how many preachers give up their ministry every week or every year in America? It's a multiplied number. Why do they give up? Because they haven't been waiting on God. They haven't been on their face. They haven't had a renewal from the Holy Ghost. Now, I know I'm shaking this light in your face. Forgive me. I'm trying to get your attention. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. Oh, do I love that. God, let me be an eagle. Let me be an eagle, God. Let me be an eagle saint. The Bible talks about eagle saints. You can be one. We don't have many today. We are in the day of the puniest kind of religiosity that any culture, I guess, has ever had. I guess it's happened before. But the church world is full of weak people who are just, they have no stability. They have no faithfulness. You can't keep them in the house of God more than just once every blue moon. And it is sad. And preachers are in same spiritual condition. And the preaching is so, I mean, they preach sermons, but not messages. You know the difference between a sermon and a message? A message is something from God. A sermon is something you can get off the internet, or you can hatch it up out of your study. It's all kind of ways, and somebody's trying, no, that was some, yeah, it is, but that's okay. Listen to me. I'm here to tell you, God is a God who wants intercessors. And he said, they that wait up on the Lord shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why don't Brother Chambers quit and faint? Because I'm not going to. I'm going to wait on God. I intend to wait on him, and I intend to go to heaven from a pulpit, or go to heaven from an altar, or go to heaven from somewhere doing something for God in a hospital, or go to heaven somewhere preaching a meeting. I mean, really, that's what my intent is. You say it may not happen. That's okay. That's up to God. You know what the Bible says? All things work together for good to them who are the called of God and to them that are given to his presence. All things work together for good to them who are the called of God. The called of God. Then Psalmist David said something similar. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And he said, if you delight in the laws of God, he'll make you like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf shall not wither. Your leaf shall not wither. Oh, listen, folks, we're talking about a God who'll take you and make something special out of you if you'll just give him a chance. You've got to give God a chance to make something dynamite and dynamic out of you. And he's ready to do it if you'll give him a chance. So don't forget that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I'm going to open the lines, and I want to take some calls, okay? I want to take some calls, and I want you to call me. I will do my best to be a blessing to you. So grab your phone and call me, 704-391-0588. The lines are open, and now I can see who is calling. Somebody's already left a message, and I'm looking forward to that. But I can't hear it during the program. So give me a call if you want to talk about this. If you want to be an intercessor. Brother Chambers, are you really serious that you're calling for intercessors? I want 1,000. I want 1,000 intercessors all over the world who join with Brother Chambers waiting on God. Get on your knees and wait on God. Pray according to the promises of the Bible. Get the covenants of God in your heart and understand that God keeps the covenant, but you got to keep it. There's always a partnership in a covenant. There's no such thing as a covenant that doesn't have two sides. It has to have a giver and a taker. It has to have the covenant giver and the covenant receiver. If you'll receive God's covenants, He will keep them. He can no more fail you. He cannot fail you. He will not fail you. And the lines are open for you to call and tell me you'll be an intercessor. Oh, would I like some intercessors out there. I really would. I really would. God is a great God. I want to go. Now, if I do this every week, it won't be bad, but I want to go back to Daniel. I love this picture in Daniel of the prince, the chief prince that God sent to Daniel as he was waiting on God. Now, you got to understand the picture. Let me say it for you again. Listen to me. Daniel was an intercessor. Daniel was being an intercessor. And Daniel had been interceding on a particular matter for 21 days. He had set himself to wait on God. He had set himself to do exactly what he writes in his own scripture, they that wait upon the Lord. And so Daniel was waiting on God. And as Daniel was waiting on God, an answer came. And I want you to hear this. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, which with loins, which were girded with the gold of Euphrates. His body was like unto the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and his voice as the words and the sounds are a voice of a multitude. Listen to that. You say, I can read it better. Well, you probably can. I hadn't read that before the broadcast, but that's in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 6. Daniel 10, verse 6. Now, let me read you 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. They saw not the vision. And it goes on to tell that the word came unto him. The word came unto him. From the first day you did pray, I did hear your prayers. Let me read that. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, he hears, withstood me. This isn't that voice that he just saw that was like unto Pharaoh. That was the voice as lightning. This was a sovereign Lord. This was the pre-incarnate Christ. Are you hearing me? This voice was the pre-incarnate Christ that was visiting Daniel after 21 days of praying and waiting on God. He said, and you say, well, that don't happen today. Don't tell me it don't happen today. If it don't, it's because nobody is waiting on God like they should. Because God will appear. I've had him to appear. And I know he will appear. But listen, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. Now, I'm here to tell you that here's the Lord saying that Michael came to help me. Michael came to help me. One of the chief princes came to help me. When you pray and wait on God and he shows up, he's going to come with power. And he's going to come with anointing. And you're going to be amazed at God's unction. Our world is waiting for intercessors. Do you have the courage to set yourself to be an intercessor? Do you have the courage to get on your faces and stay there until God makes himself real and known to you? I'm telling you, friend, if you will do what I'm talking about, God's going to do what he says. No ifs, no ands. It's not even a question. Will God keep his promise? He can't break a promise. God is not a man that he can lie. God will keep every promise. But God cannot keep no covenant that you don't let him keep, that you don't keep with him. A covenant has a partnership in it. Are you a partner with God in his covenant? He says, I'll rend the heavens and come down. Are you a covenant with God for that to happen? He says it's going to happen. I'm waiting here in Charlotte, North Carolina for it to happen. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to wait. And you're going to hear it one day. Just listen. Just stay tuned. Just stay tuned. God doesn't fail. He's either going to take me to heaven and show it to somebody else, or he's going to show it to me. And it don't matter with me. I just want God to keep his promise. And he will. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. It is so wonderful. Now, I got so much I want to say. I've got a form here in my hand, a little paper. And it's the formula for a great prayer life. The formula for an intercessor. I don't have time to give you all these 10 points. But I'm going to send it to anybody that will Monday. Not today, but Monday. You call the office and say, I want the formula for a great prayer life. My secretary will know. She'll mail it straight out to you. Make sure you give her your full address, a phone number for daytime, a phone number that she can get when she calls. And I promise you, we'll mail it to you. But there are several things. Number one, profound delight. This is the first point of a great prayer warrior. They have a profound delight in the presence of God. They have a profound delight just to be in the presence of God. You see, prayer, when you pray through, you're in the presence of God. You're in the presence of God when you pray through. If you don't pray through, then you never are going to get in the presence of God. And you're never going to get your prayers answered. That's just simply the way it is. But if you learn to pray until you can delight in the presence that God makes manifest around you. You say, I've never felt the presence of God. I'm crying out to you to find you a place to pray until you do. I don't want to criticize you. Most people have never had the presence of God. They've never been taught in their churches. They've never had anybody to explain it to them. They've never heard how do you get there. You get there by humble contriteness before God. Getting on your knees and just repenting and telling God you're dependent on his righteousness, that yours is like a filthy rag. Did you know your righteousness is like a filthy rag? I mean, you've got to have God's righteousness. That's what the blood does. The blood imputes and imparts to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But that don't come. That don't come just in a moment of now I lay me down to sleep kind of praying. That comes with people who wait on God. Who are intercessors, who get before God and stay there a while. So number one formula to really a great prayer life is you've got to have a delight in the presence of God. You've got to learn to love the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's the most wonderful thing to pray until you pray through. Until you're just clothed with an ethereal presence that seems to cover you all over. And you say, I can't quit here. I got to stay. Because you literally have a passion for the presence of God. That's where a great prayer life starts. You say, I've never been there. You don't get there by casual thinking. You don't get there by casual treatment. You get there by loving God enough to get before him. God said, love me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. That's a commandment. That God, not one of the 10, but that's a commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. That's commanded of every Christian. That's not just something for the prayer warrior. That's for everybody. When you learn to love God like that, he's going to change you from your head to your toes. He's going to make something different out of you. So the first point of a great prayer life is learn to be passionate about the presence of God. Learn to be passionate about it. Learn to love his presence. Appearing before him with an open heart. When you come to God, you don't come to God with everything settled. You come to God unsettled. God, I come here to listen to you. I come here to experience your presence that will change me. I come here to repent as you open my heart to see the need of repentance. I come here, God, for you to correct me. I'm going to read this Bible. You show me anything that needs to change me. Anything I need to get in this Bible and get it in me so that I can be what the Bible has called me to be. See, number one, you enjoy the presence of God. Number two, you come before God open. You come before God teachable. If you think you're some big shot, big dude, big mighty individual, you ain't getting nowhere with God. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to come before him aware of his greatness. Know your approach to him is totally by the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. When you come to God, remember, you don't come to Him with nothing but the graces of His shed blood. Only the blood can carry you into the prayer room of grace and beauty. Only the blood can bring you to that place to where you experience the presence of God. See, you are dependent wholly on God and not yourself. You open to be taught, and then you come on the basis of the... Now, those three points are breathtaking. If I gave you nothing else, I'd open the world for you into the glory of God's presence. I'd make an intercessor out of you probably if I could get you to, number one, develop a passion for God. Number two, come before God open without any pre-set righteousness and preset idea of how great you are. You're coming before Him completely given for Him to change you however He wants to change you. And then number three, only by the blood. Now, I'd like to stop here and give you some more of them next week. But they are powerful. Those three thoughts alone will change your life. Now, the lines are open. Let's see if we can get a call or two, would you? I'd love it. I would love it. I've got phones where I can hear you. Grab your phone, 704. Don't have it 7 or 8 minutes, but 704-391-0588. Give me a call. Tell me I want to be an intercessor. Tell me anything that you want to about this business of intercession. And ask me questions, and I will do my best to answer. I really am. I am so concerned to create intercessors. America, hey, I told you I'd talk about politics. America's in a mess. The Democrat Party has literally gone to hell in their what's the right word? The things they say, the things they do, the kind of accusations they make, the kind of politics they promote, the kind of ideas they want for America, the kind of things they want to do to our nation morally and spiritually and financially, what they want to do to the economy of America, what they want to do to our relationship with Iran and other countries of the world. All of that is so insane as it comes from the left. And that's not just Democrats. It's any politician who is a liberal, who has come to this liberal, they call it progressive. That means they're going toward the communists. They're going toward totalitarianism. Oh, I'm not saying the right word. But they're going toward complete government control. Friend, listen to me. Listen to me. We're in a mess and we need an awakening. The only thing that's going to change America is an awakening. You do understand that, don't you? That's the only thing that's going to change our nation, an awakening. Are you praying for that? Pray for the president. He's doing his best. He literally, really is doing his best. How does he stand all the malice against him? You know, it's amazing. But pray for him. Hold him up. And don't let people come up to you and criticize him. Just stop them. Say, no. Don't want to be argumentative. I'm your friend, but don't want to hear it. And just walk on, you know, and stay out of it. And stand for him. Pray for him. Pray regular for him. Because I'm telling you, if we would get somebody like one of those worst of the liberals as our next president, every good thing that's happened to America the last 3 years would be gone down the tube. It would be gone down the tube. Are you hearing me? Oh, I hope you are. I hope you're thinking. I hope you got your head on straight. I hope you're not just a liberal thinker that only thinks like you've been taught in some college by some liberal professor. You know, liberal professors have probably done more damage to America with our young people, our young generation. I mean, there's been nothing worse than what they've done. I've got family members that's had too much of that education, and it'll make a crazy thinker. It really makes you insane. That's what liberalism is. It's insanity. It's a complete insane idea about everything that has to do with our nation and our leaders and America. And how we treat people around the world. I mean, it's amazing. And so I call on you for prayer. Now, I've got about 5 minutes. I guess 5 minutes, something like that. I want to pray. I want you to pray. Do you know how to pray? Could you pray right now in a manner that you could touch God? Could you? Now, you heard what I said a while ago. One, you got to have a passion for the Father. Do you have a passion for our Father? Do you know the Heavenly Father that gave His Son? Do you know that He sits on the throne of eternity and He is the master of this universe? You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Do you know he's got a plan, a breathtaking prophetic plan right for us, right down the future? Did you know that? So come to God with respect. Come to God with a sense of his greatness. Have a passion for him. And then come to God with a brokenness inside. You are nothing. You are nothing of yourself. Without God, you are helpless. Without God, you're on your way to hell. Did you understand that? So please come to God with a sense of your dependency on him. And then come by the blood. The only source of your coming now is by the blood. The only source of your coming now is by the blood. So I cry out to you to depend on the blood. Now let's pray. Father, these are my friends, my listeners, my family. Many of them have been my friends for many, many years. I get amazed, Father, when I meet somebody that's listened 20 and 30 and 40 years, still listening. And Father, I pray for every one of them, every last one of them listening to me. I pray for them and I join them if they're praying too. Make yourself known in us. Open our eyes to understand what we are living in, what we're living around, what's happening in our world, and open our eyes to the Bible, what the Bible says, and how to live by the Holy Book, how to live by the Holy Book. And teach now the people to pray. Give me some intercessors all over my audience right now. Give me some intercessors. Move on somebody's heart to be an intercessor. This man listening who knows you and loves you, make him an intercessor. Call him to begin to pray like I've talked about today. This dear lady listening to me, she may be older in years, a little bit feeble, not able to get on her knees, but sit in that rocking chair and call on God with all your heart. And sit there and love him until he shows up, until the Holy Spirit begins to move. And that river of the Holy Spirit, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You can have a river right now. You can have a river right now. Are you listening to me? You can have a river right now. And I want you to have a river right now. I want God to be real in you, my friend. I want God to make himself known to you. He is a great God. He loves you. He cares about you. You're important to him, and he wants to be important to you. And if you'll let him, he'll make somebody special out of you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Love my friends now, Lord. Help them to pray and be an intercessor and cry out to God and seek him with all their heart, because he's a God that cares about us. He's a God that cares about us. He's a God that cares about us. Now, I'm praying for you. I love you. Love to have you in church tomorrow. I really would like to preach to you about grace tomorrow. And that's going to be a good sermon. Then we take all of our visitors out to the cafeteria for lunch with us and talk about good food. Woo! We have some of the best. It's overwhelming. It really is. I hope you'll be here tomorrow. I hope you'll be part of us. I hope you'll be part of our school. If you have school-age children, we got openings in our school. We'd love to have you. We really would. You are important, and you are special to us, and we'll treat you like that. I promise you. Now, you'll be an intercessor with me? Will you be an intercessor with me? Would you pray about a place down east that we can do a prophecy conference this spring? Pray with me about that. If you have an interest, let me hear from you. 704-578-5788. 704-578-5788. Hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for God to give me more intercessors than I ever dreamed of having. I'm praying for God to get a hold of you and make him so real that he'll change your life. I'm praying for you with all my heart. I promise you, I'm praying for you with all my heart. I'm praying for you with all my heart. I want to bless you. I want to love you. I want you to draw close to God, and I want him to be all you have need of. Love you. Love you. Love you. May God be with you. See you tomorrow. Paul Creek Ministry, 5110 Tuckasegee Road. Wouldn't that be great?
Page 327, Our Lord's Return to Earth.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray. For our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound. 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to earth's soaring cry. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness and our sufferer's tears will dry. When our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound. 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy and in